From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
On today's edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his third message in a series dealing with the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, often called Faith's Hall of Fame. In the course of this series, Dr. Cairns is applying the faith of the various characters in the chapter to the lives of Christ's people in this day. This message is entitled Justifying Faith, and Dr. Cairns is dealing with the first person mentioned in the chapter, Abel. Here we have the first example of the faithful in the Bible. The Scripture's testimony to Abel's faith shows that it's not how long we live, but how we live that is important in God's sight. In the course of this message, we've seen that Abel refused a religion of works righteousness. Rather, he approached God in the only way God will accept, on the basis of the sacrifice of the Lamb. This gave Abel the assurance that he was accepted in the sight of God. And here is a beautiful picture of the truth of justification by faith in Christ. God's acceptance of that sacrifice established Abel's testimony of the only way of salvation, by faith in the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message. First, please listen to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. The place which is called Calvary. The hill of comfort is the hill of Calvary. The house of consolation is built with the wood of the cross. The temple of heavenly blessing is founded upon the riven rock, riven by the spear which pierced his side. No scene in sacred history ever gladdens the soul like Calvary's tragedy. Is it not strange the darkest hour that ever dawned on sinful earth should touch the heart with softer power for comfort than an angel's mirth? That to the cross the mourner's eye should turn sooner than where the stars of Bethlehem burn. Light springs from the midday midnight of Golgotha, and every herb of the field blooms sweetly beneath the shadow of the once accursed tree. In that place of thirst, grace hath dug a fountain which ever gusheth with waters pure as crystal, each drop capable of alleviating the woes of mankind. You who have had your seasons of conflict will confess that it was not at all of it that you ever found comfort, not on the hill of Sinai, nor on Tabor, but Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and Golgotha have been the means of comfort to you. The bitter herbs of Gethsemane have often taken away the bitters of your life. The scourge of Gabbatha has often scourged away your cares, and the groans of Calvary have put all other groans to flight. Thus Calvary yields us comfort rare and rich. We never should have known Christ's love in all its heights and depths if he had not died. Nor could we guess the Father's deep affection if he had not given his Son to die. The common mercies we enjoy all sing of love, just as the seashell, when we put it to our ears, whispers of the deep sea whence it came. But if we desire to hear the ocean itself, we must not look at everyday blessings, but at the transactions of the crucifixion. He who would know love, let him retire to Calvary and see the man of sorrows die.
Jesus, keep me near.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, "Revival," during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
The assurance of our acceptance with God has an objective basis, namely the merits of Christ. God says, you're righteous in my sight. You're accepted. You're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You stand complete in my sight. Why? Because of the perfection of the Savior. Because of the nature of the person and of the work of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of substitutionary grace. God testifies of Christ, and on the basis of what he sees in Christ, he accepts us as righteous. Because justification, as our shorter catechism wonderfully puts it, justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. When God looks at Christ and looks at the believer in Christ, he says, Christ is accepted, and so is the believer. The believer is not accepted alongside of Christ. He's not accepted in addition to Christ. He is accepted in Christ. In him. Faith, the old theologians used to say, was the uniting grace. It was that peculiar act as the gift of God by which we are united to Christ. We are in him by faith. And bless God, in him. What does God find in Christ? Does he find any sin in Christ? No, sir. In Christ, we are in the place where God will account us sinless. What does he find in Christ? Does he find righteousness there? Then in Christ, we are in the place where God will account us righteous. Is there anything in Christ that would have the Father repel him, reject him? Or is there not rather all in Christ that would have the Father accept him? Then in Christ, as Paul says in Ephesians 1:6, we are accepted in the Beloved. We can thank God today that faith obtains the assurance. I want you to realize this and learn it. So often, assurance for God's people becomes a great problem, and it's compounded by the kind of theology that their preachers maintain. If you lack assurance, make another decision. How many of you have been along that route? My first decision wasn't sincere enough. Well, maybe it wasn't sincere. I thought it was sincere, but there must have been something missing. I prayed and I thought I was honest, but I must have been keeping something back. There might have been something. I can't even remember how I felt. I can't even remember all that I prayed. So the preacher says, you make another decision. And after the emotion of the moment has passed, you find you're right back to where you started. And then there's another decision, and another. And you're on a constant treadmill, emotional ups and downs. Sometimes joyful, sometimes sad, and sometimes more than a little mad. I know that. I have been there. Then there are others, and they have a lot more truth on their side, and I personally will always use this. I will not despise it. But I think that it is foolish to use it in isolation and not to go any further. And they would bring Christian assurance down to a mere logical syllogism. Now, you know what a syllogism is. It's just a form of logic that gives you a major premise, a minor premise, and an inevitable conclusion. And of course, if your premises are right, your conclusion is inevitable. But goes something like this. John 6 and 37, him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Major premise. God will not cast out those who come to Christ. Minor premise. I have come to Christ. Inevitable conclusion. Therefore he has not cast me out. And that is true. Don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking the major and the minor premise there, nor am I trying to take away from the inevitability of the conclusion. It is absolutely right. But you see, the old thought will come back, well, did I come to Christ? Or did I come right to Christ? Or did I come honestly enough to Christ? And this is where I say it becomes foolish to use the syllogism in isolation. The syllogism is absolutely accurate, but like everything else, it is insufficient if it's used apart from Christ. Logic is never a basis of faith. It is Christ who's the object of faith, and His Word is the great creator of faith, as His Holy Spirit applies it. So if you would enjoy assurance, God points you to the sacrifice of Christ. Constantly He's testifying of Christ. Now I know that there's an element of the supernatural in this, but then you see, I am a fundamentalist. I have no difficulty accepting the supernatural. And being a true fundamentalist, I have no difficulty in accepting that salvation is a supernatural work from first to last. Faith will be begotten by the Word of God as the Holy Spirit witnesses to Christ. The assurance of faith is given to you as the Holy Spirit testifies of the Lamb, as He speaks of the merits of the Lamb. Let me ask you this. When you go to the Bible, when you get on your knees, when you come to church, and when God by His Holy Spirit opens up the truth to you and He witnesses to your heart of the perfection and the beauty and the acceptability and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, tell me, is it not true that at that time your heart enjoys the greatest peace? It enjoys the truest assurance, the clearest vision of your acceptance with God. Isn't that always true? What do we need then? We need the witness of the Spirit to Christ. And as He witnesses to Christ's merit, He witnesses to our saving experience of that merit. And then John 6 and 37, with its major premise and its minor premise and its inevitable conclusion, then they really come home with power. Why? Because yours is the logic of faith. It is not the faith of logic. There's a world of difference. The world of difference. If you're trusting in the faith of logic, the logic may be true, but your faith will be very tremulous. But if yours is the logic of faith, then your faith fixed in Christ will make your logic immovably clear in your mind, and you will have that objective base for assurance, even the merits of Jesus Christ. Justifying faith refuses a religion of works righteousness. It approaches God on the basis of the sacrifice of the Lamb. It obtains the divine assurance of acceptance as righteous in God's sight. Now we come to the last mark of Abel's justifying faith. By faith, Abel established a testimony that has continually set before men God's one and only way of salvation. Abel was saved by faith in the Lamb of God. And his life was a living testimony to everybody else while he lived. This is the way. Now, he didn't live long, did he? But yet, he has won his thousands for Christ. And the testimony of this man has witnessed to generation after generation down through the millennia of God's one and only way of salvation. Long after his death, his witness has been with power. Let me make this clear to you. This is the privilege, not just of the preacher, but of every justified soul. If you're justified, you have God's witness that you're righteous. But remember what we saw last week. Remember the 2 points I made in verses 2 and 3? God believes in the faith of his people. And second, the faith of the people believes in God. God witnesses to them, and they witness to him. Here we have it in a concrete example of Abel. God witnessed to him and about him that he was righteous, and Abel witnessed to God. You see, your acceptance with God and your assurance of that acceptance provide you with a witness that the world needs. The world is dying to hear real, solid truth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.